Encyclopod, encyclopod. Oh my god, the encyclopod. Learn about stuff with us guys. Sometimes there's girls, but not today. Encyclopod, encyclopod. Oh my god, the encyclopod. There we go, I've embarrassed myself enough. Can we start yet?
Okay, that wasn't actually our theme tune. I'm going to do one in MIDI and have someone sing over it, but I kind of wish that was the actual one.
You can have that tune if you like.
Oh, thanks. I'll bear that in mind. I'm Alex, host of Encyclopod. Introduce yourselves, people.
I'm Gavin, and I'm just one of the guests on Encyclopod this week.
I'm Stuart, and I'm another guest of this show this week.
And you two are two of my bestest friends in the entire universe.
Hooray!
Hey.
So are you two.
Which is,
A triangle of friendship in this room.
Oh, good.
And love.
There was a kind of square of friendship planned for today, but unfortunately one of our corners is not feeling well, so...
I'm staring at the empty stool.
I know, it's kind of... I don't know why I brought it up, actually.
Yeah, as far in case one of us wanted to sit on it.
But. We'll probably have Heather on next week. Hopefully. And that will be nice, because she's a girl and she'll lend that nice feminine touch to this show.
But and she's also pretty clever.
I thought you were just going to say she was pretty.
That too, but you can't really get that on radio.
She has a very scientific mind. She's studying zoology, so obviously
Hooray.
She has. So are you, Stuart, in fact?
I am indeed.
Yes, you're...
I'm not.
But I'm doing that without a scientific mind.
Oh, fair enough.
What I do is go, oh, it's a cute animal! That's my course.
Does that count as studying zoology, really?
Yeah, well, I'm really just a janitor at Aberdeen, but...
Okay, now I better tell you what the show is about. It's called Encyclopod. It's an idea I came up with fairly recently. And I just came up with it when I realised that there's so much stuff in the world that I don't know about. And I don't think I'm the only one who has... horrendous, shameful gaps in my knowledge of basic, everyday things.
I do, and it's even worse than just, like, the topics that I've heard you just saying. Because, I mean, most people probably don't know some of the stuff I've learned this week, but other things things I probably should know about, I have no idea. Please don't do one on football.
Oh, I probably won't, because that would... I'd find it incredibly boring.
But maybe if you learnt about it, you might not think it's boring.
I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, I think that's part of the reason I want to do this as well, because learning about things does make them more interesting, even if you want to smash your head against the wall while you're learning about them.
Doesn't
afterwards, you have a deeper appreciation for the world.
Unless you learn about something that's really horrible, and you discover a hidden truth in something.
Mm.
Which I suppose would also be kind of beneficial to your life, in a way.
Yes, it could be. I don't think we'll do that serious ones to start with.
No.
We'll be doing nice fluffy topics like clouds and gerbils, possibly. Well, I don't know about gerbils. We'll see. We haven't decided on any of our other topics. I have a list somewhere, but today we're talking about clouds.
Hooray!
A topic that I think was suggested by Gavin. Say something, Gavin.
So. Well, I just because you were saying, I think what happened was I was just trying to work out how every time I said something, you went, no, that's too specific or it's not specific enough. And one of my guesses was clouds, and you went, that's about right. And then you decided that should be the first one.
Yeah, I think it was because I didn't want the full responsibility of
choosing
a topic.
I thought so.
Yeah, so you can at least share some of the blame if this episode spirals out of control.
But don't worry, I'll keep it interesting.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, he will.
This is going to be a very manly podcast with just the three of us.
Manly? Us three?
Yeah.
Ooh. I like how I went higher pitched when I said that.
Manly.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get to know us. I think, we'll have a little
Whether
bit at the
like
beginning of each episode where we talk a bit about stuff we've been up to, I think. But since this is the first one, we should probably get on to clouds fairly quickly. So, clouds, what are they? Why don't we go round the circle, the triangle rather, and talk about what did you already know about clouds before this week, Stuart?
Well, clouds come in many shapes and forms. They can be big clouds, they can be small clouds, and they usually appear in the sky. And they're nice and fluffy, sometimes white, sometimes grey, sometimes black. Like, on summer days, lying on the grass, looking up at the sky, and making shapes out of them.
You've been just imagining what they look like, not actually reaching up and moving the clouds and moulding them into, or sculpting them into a shape.
No, I'm not that powerful yet. I'm only level 25.
Sort of have the hand of God or something with you. You can't see it, but I just mimed what Stuart was probably doing.
Okay, why don't we move on to Gavin?
I knew what Stuart knew there. I just knew some random things. They often bring rain. They're sometimes pretty, sometimes not. Normally when you get darker clouds, I always think that there's more of it. Like, there's always, normally when it's a dark cloud, it's normally huge as well. Like, obviously you can't quite tell the height when you're looking directly up, but you can sort of see the width and stuff. And they're normally bigger when they're darker. And they're often more rain-bearing, I assumed. I now know that's true, but we're not talking about stuff we've learned yet, so... Alex?
I thought I knew stuff about clouds, but when I started actually researching them, I found it wasn't really the case. I mean, I don't really know what I thought they were. I think I might have thought they were gas, but they're not. I mean,
Stuart's not really done much research.
No.
Yeah, I have been researching clouds on the internet for some considerable time, well, a few days at least, and doing it quite thoroughly, I think.
I think the best way of summing us three up is Alex has been the nerd. No offense, Alex.
Yeah,
and Stuart is sort of the one who's just come completely unprepared, and I'm the one who's done sort of a reasonable amount of stuff. And whilst I've not learned things off by heart, I've picked up a lot of knowledge.
Well, I haven't learned a lot off by heart. I've made a two-sided piece of A4 paper with lots of stuff about clouds on it, and I decided we're not going to talk about every single type of cloud, because there's probably hundreds of them. Dozens, anyway. I think I thought they were just, like, water vapor hanging in the sky, in gas form.
Not true.
Not, in fact, true. Because I didn't see how, if they were actually water in liquid form, they would stay up there. I still don't quite understand that.
They're not quite liquid, because it's not like a floating ball of water. They are in a gaseous form of liquid. They're just, you know, it's quite hard to get a grip of. They're probably closer to liquid. They're just particles are more spread apart, which is what it is.
No, they are.
Well, sorry, not.
I'm pretty sure they is in liquid form, because they Okay, or maybe we should just move on to the formation of clouds.
Okay.
How are clouds formed? Someone tell me.
Sure, you try.
Pick on me then.
Okay. Do you want me to take it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When a mummy cloud and a daddy cloud. No. I've got a page here from my kiddie's book about the birth of a cloud, which is lovely. But the way I understand it is, I mean, to go back to the very basic thing that I you know from childhood, which I suppose I knew before, so is the sun shines brightly, and then water particles rise because they get hot, and then when they go up into the sky, they form clouds, is what I understood. And now I understand it's because they cool down and sort of condense, but the cloud is still warmer on the inside than the air on the outside is. That's why they float. And sort of the more sun, the longer the sun is shining, the more water particles will go up and the bigger the cloud will get. But it can start from nothing, and slowly it can just sort of roll into a cloud and just build up. Is that right, Alex?
Well, yeah, that's a simple way of putting it. There's some like intricacies to it that I never really knew before. Like, really, water vapor, it doesn't just rise up and then condense into a cloud. It's floating around in the air, because, I mean, there's water vapor in almost all air, I think, in our atmosphere. And when it gets to a certain height, it gets cold, and they condense. But they don't just condense on their own. They condense onto dust particles, usually. Mm. Like little tiny, tiny particles. I think they're like, I have a thing here saying how small they are. About 0.0001 millimeters.
That's quite small.
Yeah. Is like a particle that water can condense onto, and then when lots of particles do that in close proximity to each other, they kind of form a cloud. And that's what they are, I think. Also, ice. Some clouds are made of ice, which I find even weirder. Cause
well, the higher they are, they're made of ice, you find, I think.
Well,
because
in cold weather,
you go up in the sky, the colder it gets.
Yes. But in very cold weather, you can get clouds made of ice at lower altitudes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book I've got sort of describes it as bubbles of warm air. Like, I mean, it says thermals, but obviously it's a child's book, so they're trying to make it nice and easy to understand. But they talk about it like the sun keeps shining on one bit, and the more hot air that comes from there, the bigger the cloud will get, because the air keeps rising, because hot air keeps rising. So it just keeps going up, and air from the same spot, because the book claims that the sun often shines as much on the same, more on the same place. I don't quite understand what it means by that, but... And so the more hot air rises, and so the bigger the cloud gets, and it's sort of a cycle until the cloud's big enough. And I mean, it also says that early clouds often don't form into fuller clouds. Like, the very, very light, wispy ones sometimes will just evaporate right into drier air. So it's really... The start of a cloud doesn't always lead to a full cloud. It can sometimes just evaporate.
Yes.
So it doesn't always happen.
The particles that water condenses onto are called... cloud condensation nuclei.
Can we just call them like
cloud bits
things? Yeah, cloud bits.
Cloud bits. That's a nice
Sounds
word.
Nice.
Sounds like something you collect in a Mario game or something. And the ones that ice forms on are ice nuclei. It's easy to remember because, you know, nucleus is the center of an atom. It's the central bit, basically.
You want to talk about random things about clouds? Can you just pick up the different random bits? Why clouds are white?
Okay, why clouds are white? Why are clouds white?
Well, water particles reflect all colors, all shades of light, or well, let's say shades, all different waveforms, frequencies. Mm-hmm. So it makes white light, because obviously all different colors produce white light together. And then darker clouds are just when it's a denser cloud, or there's more cloud above it, so it's a taller cloud, less light can obviously get through, so the cloud gets darker.
Yes, because water droplets are very good at dispersing sunlight, scattering it in different directions, so that's why the bottom of clouds is darker.
And that's also why the darker clouds often have more, are more likely to, well, not more likely, but that's why they're often the ones with rain.
I take it we all know the 10 main cloud categories.
You're just reading a set 10 of book, main. But go for it, hit us. I'll open to the page when I have them.
Well, the cloud formations, there's a lot of them. But the folk that study clouds, because they're very interesting people, you see.
Mm-hmm. You mean nephologists?
Yeah, or
from Greek nephos, meaning cloud.
They use just 10 main ones to call them categories.
Okay, let's move on to cloud types. Shall we?
Yeah, why not?
Are you going to read them out, Stuart? Because I have a list of them now. I hope my list is roughly the same as yours. There are many types of cloud.
There are many, many.
We're not going to talk about all of them.
No, I thought we'd just maybe go through the 10 main categories.
Okay. Why don't you read some out and I'll see if I know anything about them.
Well, there's banner clouds.
Banner clouds?
Yeah.
I actually have no idea what they are.
Banner clouds? Exactly. Banner cloud, a cloud plume floating from the top of a mountain.
Read more.
Many mountains are cloud-capped because warm, moist air is forced upwards around them and cools to dew point.
Good for it.
So, banner clouds are, like, when you climb a mountain or that, you always look up top and you see clouds floating around them. Like, when you watch the old Kung Fu movies.
Yeah.
The guy that needs to train in for Master Chow, or whoever it is, needs to go up to the top of the mountain where the trainer is. And you always stand at the bottom and there'll be, like, a panning camera moment. And there's many clouds floating over
the top. I've seen that sort of thing in Pokemon, but I imagine they just had clouds for, you know, detail.
Yeah, there's many, that gets in Kung Fu movies as well.
Right.
Mm.
I did check, my book has 10, but it doesn't include that one, so it probably has different ones. But, I mean, the thing is, they've all got different names, and it's mostly to do with the altitude, pretty much. There are ones named because of their altitude, and there are ones named because of the way they look.
And there are ones named for both.
Yeah, exactly.
So there is kind of a system at work here.
And the system was developed by Luke Howard.
It was.
Who actually was a
chemist.
I heard it funny. He was an amateur. He was a pharmacist, so he was an amateur meteorologist. So he didn't actually have much to do with clouds. He just liked cloud watching and developed the system.
Yeah.
But there is no perfect system, which is quite strange. But
his was the best that they came up with.
Yeah, exactly.
And he presented it to... the Askesian Society, I don't know how you pronounce that, but it was a debating club for scientists. He presented this system in 1802, and it was pretty much accepted, and we still use it today. It uses a lot of Latin words for to describe clouds.
Did he get a Nobel Prize?
Oh, I don't know.
As far as I know, no.
Got it for the boy.
Mine says 1803.
Okay, it was around 1802.
Yeah, it's a matter of
time. 1802, 1803, take one, take two, doesn't matter.
That's why we have you on here,
yes,
Stuart.
Yes, exactly, Stuart. Well done, you.
And, okay, why don't we go through the Latin words and see if you can guess what they mean, unless you already know, which you might. Cumulus.
I think you'll find it's cumulus.
I think you'll find, yeah. Cumulus. Cumulus, cumulus. What does that mean in English?
Fluffy white clouds.
Well, that is precisely it. It's the most common type of cloud. It is the fluffy, nice white.
Yeah, but what did the word originally mean before this cloud system?
I haven't looked at much of the origin of the words. I've just looked at what the type of cloud is.
Okay, well, I have the word origins. They do kind of make sense.
Go for it.
Cumulus means heap.
Oh.
As in, like, heaped clouds, because they're more vertically stacked than other clouds.
And then, what did Latin people know?
Lots.
Nah.
Okay, stratus. Why don't we go with stratus? Any idea what that means? I know they're lower
than cumulus or cumulus.
Yeah, because... Stratus will be the same name, same meaning as when it's saying stratosphere, which is means will be a low cloud. So it'll be something to do with lowness.
It actually means layer.
Well, yeah, well, stratosphere is a layer.
Yeah.
Stratus ones
are like, so it'll be like a low layer.
I think stratus ones are generally quite big, as in wide, not as in tall. So like that's why they're sort of a layer.
Yeah, we might have to describe them in slightly greater detail. I mean, the main types in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cirrus, in English, means curl of hair.
That's the really, really high ones.
Yeah, that's the wispy ones.
In fact, there's a type called mare's tails, which are the ones that look like a thin strand and then like a puff on the end.
I think
like
that's just a nickname for cirrus clouds.
Yeah, possibly.
A nimbus. What does that mean?
Nimbus is the cloud. The old Dragon Ball Z where the main character jumps off.
No, it's Harry Potter's broomstick in the first two books.
No, it's actually a type of cloud.
It means rain.
We had this yesterday, yeah, didn't we? Yeah. We were playing Cranium.
Let's go for it. Can I go off on a random story?
Yeah, go on.
We're playing Cranium, and Stuart and I were versing Alex and Heather. And it happened that we had to pick, for them to win, we had to pick one of the four categories, which is either acting something out or singing a word sort of question, a creative thing like drawing or making something out of clay, and then there's just sort of general knowledge questions. And they're both quite good at the acting and singing, so we didn't pick that. And Alex is really good with words, so we didn't pick that. And we sort of didn't want to give them something creative because it was more likely to get that than the random question. So we go for the random question, and I read it, and the question is about clouds, which Alex has been researching all week. And we both looked at each other, and we were in complete trouble, which is so annoying. And they did win. Alex wasn't entirely confident, but it was this word, nimbus, which helped. Because it was about what sort of cloud is a thunderstorm. And also, ironically, the same evening we had a thunderstorm, which you don't often get in Edinburgh.
Yes.
Why didn't we go outside and investigate? Sure, want to go out with a metal pole.
Oh, we should have.
Oh, well.
I've been trying to work out what clouds are all week. I've been looking out the window and stuff and thinking, what is that? Is that a cube? I think the ones outside at the moment are either stratocumulus or just cumulus.
It's hard to tell how high they are.
It is, yes. Actually, the system for working out what layer a cloud is in, because there's like... Basically, there's three layers of clouds. High clouds, which are above 6 kilometers. There's mid-level clouds, which are 2 to 6 kilometers up, and low clouds, which are under 2 kilometers up.
So that's stratus and nimbostratus.
Stuff like that, yeah. But the most common way for my internet research, which I mean, take that for what it's worth, but the most common way to tell what layer clouds are in is to hold up your hand at arm's length and see what part of your hand is closest to the size of the clouds.
Oh.
Well, not the size of the clouds, but the size of the elements of the clouds. Like, mm-hmm. Some of them have patterns that you can, identify them by. It's quite a simple system.
If the naming system, if the naming system isn't an exact science, then I suppose identifying them probably isn't either. I mean, it's because the thing is, it says that in this book it's pretty much defined by what height they are. But if you get one that's exactly in between the two and looks sort of like one and the other, you're not going to have the exact name.
It's not a perfect system, but
no. Well, it can never really be a perfect system because of what clothes are.
Yeah, they are just big blobs of weirdness.
It will be fun when we have people listening to topics that they know enough about.
And oh gosh, that would be awful.
You should have an email address where we'll be able to email corrections.
I'm going
and we can
to,
talk
yeah.
about it in the next week.
I'm going to. That's exactly what I was planning.
If you heard something that we've said incorrectly, or you disagree, or you want us to investigate more, please email.
Okay, maybe we should actually go through the cloud types then, because I have ridiculous amounts of information. I really don't want to have written all this stuff down for nothing.
I don't really know much about them, so you can educate me just now. I'll learn.
Well, what about the cloud types?
Cloud types, yeah.
Well,
okay.
You've got the cirrus.
Cirrus,
yeah. Which are kind of ice crystal, wispy clouds of ice crystals.
Yes. If they condense, then the ice evaporates before it hits the ground.
But if you're looking at them, they usually have a rippled appearance.
We're going to put our sources on our website as well, so some of the links that I put up will have pictures and stuff.
If any of you can actually be bothered looking up the book, the Eyewitness Guides to Weather has a nice photo of them. I suppose you can just Google mare's tails.
You might get some strange things, but...
Yeah, horses, bobs.
There's no market for that on the internet, don't be silly.
What's the whole contrail?
Contrail, isn't that just when aircraft leave trails?
It is indeed.
But they can kind of transform into clouds.
The exhausts of jet aircraft emit streams of hot gases and water vapor. When these streams hit cold air, the water vapor cools and freezes, forming contrails.
And that can actually turn into cirrus, I think.
Speaking of planes, can I tell just to go off a tangent because it's a bit reading at the moment?
Yeah.
I love it when you're on a plane, and sometimes when you go through a cloud, it's really cool. Sometimes it can get a bit more bumpy, which is I don't mind because I keep my seatbelt on when you're seated anyway. I don't get people who tick off. It's silly. Anyway, but I mean, it can get a bit more bumpy, but it's cool because it's not what you'd think it would be like. It is just like being, to use an example, in a room that someone shows a smoke machine in, which I have been in because we've done that many times. But it's quite strange because it isn't. I mean, the further you look at, you can't see very far, but you can look at the whole wing quite easily. It just gets a bit harder to see the further along wing. And then also, I love it when you're above the clouds. You get so high, eventually you've gone pretty much above all these levels of clouds. Maybe there are some still above you, small ones, but you look down, you can just see a vast amount of one huge cloud, and you know the people underneath are not going to like it. It's going to be dark and horrible, but it's really sunny above it for you. It's quite strange. And also,
if only I wasn't terrified of flying.
But also, I remember that when you've gone through a cloud, there is a little water particles obviously on the window afterwards, and then the higher you go, eventually they turn into little ice crystals. So obviously you get to a certain height and that's obviously how they can create cirrus ones.
That's
because back to what you were saying.
That's because it thinks that your window is a cloud condensation nucleus.
Oh, that's it.
Well, it probably doesn't think.
I don't think anything thinks. I think it just sort of. I think just at that temperature, things turn to ice.
I like to think that water vapor has a consciousness and can decide. It actually makes it easier to kind of get your head around in a way because it rises up. It turns to water vapor. It's floating around in the air. When it gets to a certain height, it gets cold. It condenses and thinks, oh, what can I grab onto? I'm getting cold. I want to turn into water, but I'll just grab onto this bit of dust. Whee! And then there's lots of other little ones doing the same thing nearby, like some
sort of
Pixar film or something.
Yeah.
Peer pressure.
Yeah.
He's doing it, we might as well.
If we follow that consciousness, then you have to ask yourself, what have I done to the clouds for them to come along and rain on me?
Yeah.
So was it because I lied when I was 17? So we Travis song there for folk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go out and buy the album, it's good.
Okay, no.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Cirrus.
Cirrus.
Yeah. If you see many of them, then it may mean an imminent change in the weather. Although you can't actually tell whether it's going to get better or worse just from seeing cirrus clouds.
It will change.
It does. Other clouds up there. Cirrocumulus is... as you can tell, it's just the name is just formed from sticking two other cloud words together, but still. They're just big sheets with rolls of small puffy cloudlets.
They're a bit lower down than cirrus clouds.
Are they? I don't think they are.
Which ones did you say, sorry?
Cirrus cumulus.
Yeah, they are. Cirrus are about 12 kilometres. Cirrus cumulus are about 10. And in between them are cirrostratus.
Cirrostratus?
Yeah, cirrostratus.
Are you going to talk about them, or will I?
I don't really know much about them, and I know it's just a bit of reading at the moment, but...
Well, cirrostratus are just a high level of veil of cirrus clouds.
Cirrus? Well, it's when cirrus clouds form a sheet, and... I think it often covers the whole sky, so you can't really see anything else. I may be wrong about that. But they form sheets, and it just means that there's a lot of moisture in the upper atmosphere, and it can apparently signal the start of a warm front, which we'll talk a bit about later, warm fronts and cold fronts.
Just a random thing. They can be called an icy veil, because obviously...
Can nice, they?
But yeah, in this case. But just a random thing. It says that they can... Hold on. Here the sun appears very bright and may have one or more coloured rings or halos around it, and occasionally brilliant mock suns. Which I'm assuming means that it looks like there's more than one sun. A mock sun. But I don't understand, because it says occasionally, and I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No. Well, there's a lot of weird cloud types that I don't think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But we're probably not going to talk too much about them, because they're
Have you
so
noticed
rare.
That in Mario, there's clouds...
Yes.
But the ones with smiley faces you can walk on. Mm-hmm. And then there's even some clothes you can jump and ride in.
You can do what?
Ride in it.
You can ride
can
by
you?
It.
By the cloud. What Mario game is this?
Mario on the Game Boy.
Oh, right, okay. I hadn't noticed that, no. Thanks. Thank you. We cover all sorts of things.
Yeah.
We don't just talk about clouds in real life. We can talk about
clouds
in popular culture.
If you ever see a cloud with a smiley face, jump
try
right
and
on top
find
of it.
Clouds on pop culture and Wikipedia, huh? I'd be edged right out, but this is staying.
Yeah,
because
we're
that
cool.
And leave that.
Not like Wikipedia. No. Sorry, Wikipedia.
No,
I mean, you are my primary source for research, though I try to back it up with other
I quite like children's
sources.
Books as my primary source. That'll be my gimmick.
Yeah, that's a good gimmick. That was cirrostratus we just talked about. I don't know much more about them. And lower down, you said we've already talked about cirrocumulus,
yeah,
which
we've spoken of them, but that's
which are sheets with rows of small puffy cloudlets. They're usually found in winter, usually seen in winter, and they usually don't last very long because they morph into other clouds. But this can signal the start of a cold front. So that's all the clouds that I've really researched in the high clouds area. Have you got any more in your book?
Next down are altostratus.
Oh, that's in the mid-level cloud section
well,
of here.
Yeah, that's about 9 kilometres.
So rather than ice, these ones are more watery in general, though sometimes if it's cold, they can be made of ice as well. Altocumulus is kind of greyish-white and it can vary in brightness, and there's dark bits and light bits on the same clouds, which... makes it quite easy to tell them apart from stratus. They can signal the arrival of thunderstorms. Also, if you get a lot of altocumulus together, then people call it a mackerel sky.
Yeah,
because it looks like a mackerel. And that means that... I think it means that cold fronts are on their way. Just in case you're wondering.
There's a lot of...
So think of a cold mackerel. That's a good way to remember it.
Cold
mackerel. It's a frozen mackerel.
I think maybe we should just
means a cold
speed
front
up
is coming.
For the rest. Because, I mean, generally they're mostly the same. It just determines on their height. So just...
Well, not entirely.
Cloud types are slightly more boring, I'll admit.
Okay, altostratus, quickly. Grey or blue-grey sheets that often cover the whole sky. They often form ahead of storms with continuous rain or snow. And you can see the sun through them sometimes, but it's always fuzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Next one?
Now we are into low clouds now, unless you have any more mid-level ones.
Nope.
Depends if you... Stratocumulus?
No, that's a low-level
one. That's a low one, yeah.
Into the low ones.
Okay, let's start with that, since we were talking about it. They're sort of dark, round, and lumpy low-level clouds, and they can be accompanied by light precipitation. And they look like kind of rounded masses, but they can be in like waves. They usually signal either the start or end of bad weather.
You could learn to tell the weather by the clouds, but I mean, it's
you could,
probably
yeah.
Not
there's YouTube that. Videos on that.
Yeah, there's YouTube videos on everything, though.
There are, yes. If you go to our sources, you might find videos on that. If you really want to, but it's probably quite hard. I still find it really hard to tell the difference between different cloud
types. I don't think it's a skill that we particularly need. It's nice to discover more about them, but I don't think I need to be able to look up and go, oh, it's that type of cloud. Which I would do. I would do that noise.
Okay, stratus.
You're French.
Just good old-fashioned stratus without any prefix or anything. Okay, flat, featureless, low altitude, dark grey to nearly white. They're probably the most common cloud to just see drifting past on a cloudy day. And they're usually just made by weak upward air currents. So they're quite boring, really, as clouds go. They can bring drizzle or light snow. Anyone got anything to say about that?
Nope.
Not really.
Okay, nope. Fair enough. We'll move on to nimbostratus, which are... That's the rain word with the layer words, or the... It's a rainy layer of clouds.
Wow.
Very dark and very close to the ground.
Yes. And they usually bring steady rain. They mask the sun. And a way of identifying them is to look at the bottom of them, because it's usually foggy and hard to determine. Mm.
So these are your evil clouds?
Well, if you call raining on you evil, which then I think is a bit of an exaggeration, but... Yeah, I guess. And, if the temperature is low enough, they may contain snow. Oh.
Snow!
So there are snow clouds.
And they're usually accompanied by little fractus clouds, which are fragments that have torn off bigger clouds. They usually kind of sort of wander around near the cloud. That's all I'm going to say about fractus clouds. Okay, cumulonimbus. That's like the first cloud word that I ever learnt, I think.
Well, I know those are the ones which aren't... They sort of have an altitude that they can be at, but they normally can stretch up really high.
Yeah, they're much bigger and more heaped up
they can
vertically.
Reach the whole troposphere? Well, what is that word? They're troposphere?
Strong updrafts make these babies.
They also bring heavy rain thunder.
Yeah, they're the thunderstorms. Yes, that's the one which Alex won
ones.
Cranium with.
Evil man he is.
And
that is not his fault.
So they develop from nice cumulus clouds, so if you don't keep an eye on your nice cumulus clouds, then they could turn into cumulonimbus, so don't let that happen.
So hire a good
I implore
cloud
you people. Yeah.
I'll just pop them to Scotland and buy a bag of instant cloud.
Mm-hmm. They bring most intense weather. And they have flat tops because sometimes they get so high that they get into higher altitudes where strong winds shave the top of them off. Mm. Interesting. That's cumulonimbus, and I think that's all the basic cloud types that I have here.
The basic ones we've covered.
That's everything.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay, summing up, basically the main two types are cumulus and stratus, and generally, cumulus means cold fronts are coming, and stratus means warm fronts are coming, but don't quote me
on
that.
Can you explain what cold fronts and warm fronts are? Just
okay.
To make it a bit simpler.
Simply. I don't know a great deal about them. We might talk about them in a different podcast, because it's more general weather stuff than just clouds. But cold fronts are just a mass of cold air that sort of moves around the place, and warm fronts are just a mass of warm air that moves around the place. But when a cold front moves around, it lifts up the warm air in front of it, and that often means it lifts it into a colder bit, so the water vapor in the air condenses to form clouds.
I think, just looking at this page here, it looks like imagine it as like a big sheet thing that's like vertical, and it just moves, and if it goes across it, it cools it down. And then when
it's like,
even if it doesn't lift the cloud higher, it can cool them, thus making them
they're
more
like the glaciers of the sky.
Yes. Yes, glaciers of the sky, I like that.
Yeah, okay. And warm fronts are just a mass of warm air that moves forward. But
they can also cause rain.
Yeah, widespread light precipitation develops ahead of a warm front, I have written in my notes. Very, very elegantly put, I think. Oh, we didn't talk about lenticular clouds.
Oh,
no. You like lenticular clouds, don't you?
Do you? I like the word.
Okay.
But
They're creepy looking things.
I can't help. I don't have that word in my book.
Aww. First year.
Well, like this one, in fact, it was the other book that I saw them in, but then I saw them in this one when you spoke of them the last
time. Okay, basically they form on the downwind sides of mountains, and they're creepy looking lens shaped things that don't move. They don't look like they're moving anyway, but air is flowing through them, and people have thought that they're UFOs before.
They do. I've got a photo here. They do look a bit like, you know, what are those space things that I don't like the taste of? They're really sour. The things that, like, they're little...
Oh, flying saucers.
Yeah, that's the one.
Saucers, I love
like,
them.
They've got,
they're awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what they're saying.
Like sherbet in
it's
the
like
middle.
It's like the paper stuff, the edible paper with
yeah.
sherbet inside. Anyway.
Maybe when you used to
like,
the money that you used to eat.
It's like half of one of those. And it's actually like, I don't know, it is like a lens. When you say a lens, it doesn't look like it. It's a very specific lens. It's like a contact lens shape.
Mm.
Like concave sort of thing.
Okay, that's a lot about different cloud types, isn't it?
I yes. once saw a cloud that looked like a duck. Like
yeah,
it had
can
a
we talk
beak
about
and
what
everything.
Clouds look like?
Yeah, let's do that. Have a break from the series.
I used to think that clouds were... It's very, very Lion King. Like I used to think sort of clouds are people who passed away. And it sounds kind of strange. Just like I sort of thought a cloud represented someone. So like in Lion King, stars represent people.
Hmm.
It's quite a strange thing.
That's an interesting thing. I've never really thought about that
before. I don't think I thought that. I think it was one thing I considered when I was a kid. Because, you know, you think anything.
Yeah.
You consider reality. I considered reality a lot more when I was a kid, actually, than I do now. I should probably
for me,
think about it more.
I never really thought of clouds much. They were just there.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's just one of the things you always take for granted, don't you?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
you always take
in Scotland, you do.
In grass, it's just there. You don't think about it.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to fight here at Encyclopod.
Well, actually, in my head, when I was a kid, clouds were always at the same level and looked identical. They were just the nice fluffy clouds. But now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever really paid that much attention to clouds. I've realized
no.
I haven't now. But I've seen the error of my ways, but I'm not sure it's that big a deal, really. Because, I mean, it's nice to know, but it's not going to change me as a person much.
The Cloud Appreciation Society won't like that.
No, but I mean,
there's actually a cloud appreciation society.
There is, yes. I'll put a link to it on our website.
Cass. Is it Cass?
I don't know, but they're called.
Some people need to get out more.
No, I think it's...
No,
it's
they
nice.
Are getting out and they're looking at the clouds.
Exactly.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I go out
sitting in
clouds?
Here not talking about clouds.
Did you ever used
okay.
to... I know you used to like look for what clouds look like, but I used to... Sometimes, again, when I was a kid, I was a bit of a strange kid. I used to convince that they had to be a shape. So, you know, Play-Doh mm-hmm. things where you just sort of shove it on the Play-Doh and then you take it off and you've got the shape of something.
Yeah.
Like cutters, door cutters or something. It's almost like I used to think that clouds were shaped... And there was sort of a standard production facility that could produce out these mass shapes. There's a big teddy bear. There's a... I don't know. You know? Do you know what I mean?
I kind of
know
what you mean. I never really see that many clouds that look like things.
Did you not?
As a kid, I was very creative with what they could be, just as long as
yeah.
they were a shape.
Yeah. You had to do it. You had to sit on your back, lie on your back to do it.
Hmm.
I never used to do that. I just used to look at... It was always when we're in the car, to be honest. When we're driving somewhere, I just stare at the clouds. I suppose I never had anything better to do when I was in the car.
The Cloud Appreciation Society actually have a nice like list of their goals as an organisation.
Oh, what are their
like,
goals?
Maybe I should read them out on the podcast. That'd be fun.
I'm slightly tempted to find out what
yeah,
the Cloud
okay.
Appreciation
I'll go
Society
on the website now.
Well, I'm pretty sure clouds aren't endangered, so they shouldn't be worrying about that.
Well, actually, I suppose with global warming, there will be changes to clouds. So
I think people
yeah,
are...
There'll be more clouds.
There'll be more negative press for clouds, because...
Oh, those poor clouds.
I know, yeah, it's terrible, isn't it?
The thing is, they don't really have feelings.
Our manifesto. Okay. I don't know if I should read all of these.
Just sum them up.
Okay.
The,
the first one is, we believe that clouds are unjustly maligned and that life would be immeasurably poorer without them.
I suppose if it was just the blue sky constantly. Thing is, I don't like pure sunlight that much. I mean, it's too hot for me in Edinburgh at the moment. I mean, I just I don't like too much heat. I don't like it. So clouds, I suppose, are a nice break from that. Even in Florida, they really cooled it down a lot because it got really hot sometimes. So I sort of appreciated the thunderstorms, which must have come from cumulonimbus.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. There we go.
I still don't understand thunder. That's a thing we might have to talk about in a different show because...
Do you mean lightning? Because thunder's just the sound.
Oh, okay, lightning. Ah. Yeah. Oh. Okay, fine.
Bless!
Savior of the universe!
There's never enough.
No, there isn't. We pledge to fight blue sky thinking wherever we find it. That's clever.
I like that.
And their last, they sum it up with, and so we say to all who listen, look up, marvel at the ephemeral beauty, and live life with your head in the clouds.
I have seen, to be honest, I've only ever seen nice clouds in photos. I don't think I've ever seen the really cool sort of clouds that are rare.
Sometimes you see them and you're just like, wow.
I've seen photos of this, like, thunderstorms and massive really clouds, and then just lightning coming down, and they look amazing. They're actually proper photos that people went out in a thunderstorm and took.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I'm talking about in real life, though. I've never seen clouds that I've thought, wow, that's really cool. Apart from if it's just a normal cloud that's shaped kind of funkily.
You can see some pretty cool sunsets, but I think the thing about them is the clouds aren't really responsible for the colour, which is the main thing.
Yeah, but they
do get coloured in nice ways. I think
it's like
the world would be poorer without them. I agree, Cloud Appreciation Society. You go. You don't spread the word. I don't know about that.
In fairness, should we not look up if there's an anti-cloud society just to be balanced?
Oh, maybe there is. Let's have a look.
I'm sort of fascinated now. Is there? Do you think there's a group of people who are actively against clouds so much that they'll have a website?
It's the internet. Come on.
Yeah, of course. There must be people against clouds.
I'm going to type in anti-cloud.
Anything on cloud? Anti-cloud society?
I don't know if there is.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Maybe we should take a break soon. Maybe just a little bit.
Like,
we should take a break?
Let's take a break now.
Let's take a break now. Fantastic. That was Ballad of the Clouds by Stuart.
Maybe next time we'll have an in-tune guitar.
Actually,
it won't be a next time.
Next time there will be... next time this show will be perfect in every way. We're just getting used to it. Cut us some slack.
It's a pilot.
Yeah, it's a pilot. We're very excited to be doing it, and we're getting lots of stuff wrong, but that was good, because it teaches us lessons.
It's a learning experience, not just about clouds, but about the podcast itself.
It is. It's like a weird sort of philosophical... For example, I just learned that I shouldn't start a sentence when I don't know how it's going to finish.
That would be useful.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone think of any amazing things about clouds that they forgot to talk about?
Yes, I did.
It's a type of
cloud that we did discuss.
Okay, yeah.
The ground cloud, more commonly known as fog, sometimes as mist if it's not as thick. But the ground cloud. Mm-hmm. It's not actually called a ground cloud, but I like calling it a ground cloud. That's my affectionate name for it.
Okay. My theory about ground clouds is, and hopefully you'll have more information on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just stratus that's on the ground.
I don't know if you can quite say what type of cloud they are, though. I mean, I suppose probably closer to stratus, because that's what it looks like when you see mist or fog rolling in, I suppose. But I just like the fact that fog... I suppose I've always sort of known that it was water particles, but I never really thought it was just a cloud on the ground, which I find quite cool. But I mean, there's sea fog and there's land fog, and they are different. But I find it strange that the formation of it can be determined by what time of day it is. I always considered that the weather could be anything at any time of day, but then in Florida I realised you only really get thunderstorms from the afternoon on. You can never get a thunderstorm in the morning over there. And I sort of made me consider, there must be some reason for that about temperatures and stuff. I suppose it is true that it needs more sunlight before clouds can form and stuff. Like, it doesn't get that at night. But I just find it quite strange. Anyway, so that's ground fog. I don't think
you can tell that it is water in its liquid form, because when you walk through it, you get wet even if it's not raining.
You don't get soaked, though. I think some people think you do, but you just get a bit wet, a bit moist. Like, it's just a... Is there a clingency of it? It's strange.
So, millions of tiny droplets hovering in the air will transfer onto you. It's weird. Clouds are weird. I think we can't stress that enough, really. I also can't stress the fact that I thought clouds was going to be a nice, like, fuzzy, easy topic to start off with, but, it's not. Reading, even just on Wikipedia, which I hasten to add is not the only thing I looked at, but, you know, I'd be reading about a type of cloud, and then it would mention another type of cloud and have a link to a page, and it'd be a type of cloud I hadn't heard of before, and I'd just be like, oh, no!
Yeah.
So many types of clouds.
So not one of the pages at the bottom, relevant links, types of cloud.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, there's so many. And also there's concepts that I don't understand, like convection.
Oh, convection.
God help us if we ever do a convection episode. Cause
Was that just about how clouds rise and stuff and why they stay in the air?
Well, basically, yeah.
In this book and in the other book, which are children's books, so it's actually quite easy to understand, they do compare them to hot air balloons. Which actually is quite simple.
Yeah.
The air and the water inside of a cloud, because it's a mix of both, is warmer than the air on the outside, so it floats.
Yeah, and if I got it right, the reason that hot air is usually on top of cold air is because cold air is denser, because the particles are closer together.
Yep.
Anything else, Stuart, about clouds? Because I have a very specific thing about clouds that I want to get onto.
Not really, nothing of importance.
Okay. Earth is not the only planet that has clouds.
Oh.
No, heaven has clouds as well.
Yes, you can walk on them.
And the pearly gates are
there. They must be really dense clouds, so it must be really cold.
They have smiley faces on them. That's why you can walk on them.
Like in Mario.
Yep.
Like in Mario, That's because Mario is God.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're moving into controversial philosophical territory here.
Yep.
But he is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If anyone wants to discuss this further, email me.
Okay, yeah. We're going to do contact information at the end. People might have individual addresses, but I don't know yet. We'll decide.
Can I get an encyclopod email address?
Yes, you can.
Wow.
Not you, though, listener. Sorry.
No.
Unless you are one of us, which is quite likely, considering...
For the pilot.
Yeah, for the pilot.
Hi, people
that we know, mostly. People we don't know.
Hello, people we don't know, if you are listening.
That's nice of you. Anyway, clouds on other planets. There's a lot of them.
Can I just, before you start, ask, I'm assuming that it's not clouds of water.
On some planets it is.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yes.
Not ones in our solar system, though.
Yeah.
What? Yep. Water?
There's water on some of our
planets. Oh, I suppose, yeah. I'm thinking why they're not habitable. Sometimes it's not because of the lack of water.
Yeah, anyway, there's many reasons.
We have discovered... bacteria on planets.
Have we? I don't know.
Yes, well, not we personally.
We might.
I've not been into space myself personally.
We might actually do an episode on each planet in the solar system eventually.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But so I'm not going to talk too much about them. And also, a lot of it's to do with the atmosphere of that planet. I'm not going to talk about that either. Just going to talk about the clouds. I'm going to rush through it. Okay, Mercury doesn't really have any, as far as I can tell from my research. Venus has clouds of sulfuric acid.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that'd be bad, actually.
Which rains onto... It doesn't actually rain onto the surface, because the surface of Venus is so hot that it evaporates before it gets there.
And becomes a cloud again.
It's called Virga when that happens. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Actually, I've read... Hold on, sorry. I've read something about Virga in one of my books to do with Earth clouds. And now I want to... Sorry.
Okay.
Hold on, I found it. Trailing Virga. Cumulus clouds sometimes let rain or ice crystals fall into drier, slower-moving layers of air. The streaks that result, known as Virga, evaporate before they reach the ground and form below as and look as if they are vanishing into the air. So that does happen on Earth as well.
Yeah.
Just not with sulfuric acid, thankfully. Well, not yet.
Well, there is acid rain, but we're not talking about rain, really. The surface of Venus is completely covered by clouds, and there's a lot of swirling... clouds in the upper atmosphere at like 186 miles per hour, in case you're interested. And there's a big greenhouse effect because of the denseness of the atmosphere and stuff. But that's enough about Venus. What's the next one?
Earth?
Very easy.
From the sun?
Yeah. Okay. Earth, we've talked about a bit already, so. Yeah. Mars is the next one after that. Yeah, there's solid carbon dioxide at the poles of Mars, which sublimates into the atmosphere, causing clouds.
Are some of them invisible?
It's not clouds of carbon dioxide. It's clouds of water. But there isn't
water
any...
Water on Mars?
There's controversy. I'm sure... I got confused by this because there's controversy about whether there's actually water on Mars. But a lot of sites also say that there are clouds of it. I mean, just traces. There isn't actually... I don't think there's actually water on the surface of Mars in liquid form. I think that's the thing.
Oh, right, okay.
But there is water vapor, which sort of gloms onto dust, which is swept off the surface by winds and forms clouds. So it's fairly similar to Earth, really, in some ways. Although we don't know much about Mars because of stuff.
Well, there was the whole, you know, when Britain decided to investigate it, we lost our machine.
Well, quite a lot of the spacecrafts that have been sent there have been lost, actually. There were two in 1999 that were supposed to investigate weather specifically, but they both...
Yeah, I think anything that's tried to go into the southern sort of hemisphere, most of the ones, particularly near the south, have failed.
Well, that's because there's aliens there, and they destroy other places.
Yeah, and also that the Bermuda Triangle.
That's scientifically proven.
I've made that up, but I like it.
Oh, well done. Okay, that's enough about Mars. Jupiter is a gas giant, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And it has very similar cloud things to Saturn, so I might as well talk about them at the same time.
Well, can I just a spin-off to do with Jupiter? There was something, I think because it's a gas planet, I suppose all of it is a big cloud, you could say. But it's just a random thing. There's a huge, you know the red giant, it's just a storm on it. It's a big red circle
on it.
Yes,
there it's a great red spot.
Yes, that's what it's called. Next to that, there was a little red spot. No, called the little red spot. It's just attached to it. Just a tiny bit around this big circle. But recently it's disappeared. And people are speculating that it's now been swept into the larger red. So
I didn't hear about the little one, but I did some research on the great red one.
The little one, it was very unknown. It was just a little, few pixels next to it. But it was...
A few pixels.
Okay, not a few pixels. But, you know, they can't see it that well. Yeah. But it's now merged into the main one. But it's been for as long as people have been studying it, that's been there, and now it's gone.
The great red spot is a storm that's been going on for, estimates vary, but at least 300 years, and it's exciting. It is to do with clouds because it is clouds basically. That's what you see when you look at it. But anyway, Jupiter and Saturn both have ammonia clouds. They have a layer of ammonia clouds, and then another layer of ammonium hydrosulfide, which is different, and then another layer of water under that.
Wow. What about Uranus?
We're talking about that in a minute.
I bet we are.
Oh, I knew this would happen.
Uranus. Call it Uranus.
So, yeah, they have bands as well. They have, bands of cloud that you can see if you look at them. Jupiter's are a bit more obvious, but they both have them. And they're of clouds at different altitudes and of different things. So, it's interesting. And on Saturn, there is a... I don't know if either of you have seen this, but there's a hexagon at the north pole of Saturn. It's like an actual hexagon. It's weird. Made of clouds.
Perfect hexagon.
It's almost perfect, yeah.
Weird. Not seen that before.
It is very weird. But it rotates about once every 10.5 hours. And it's rather strange.
Is it just one cloud?
I don't know. It's like a cloud formation, but it's visible from. It's obviously visible in photos they've taken of it. There's also a weird eye-like thing at the South Pole, but also there's a great white spot that appears every 30 years, which is like the Great Red Spot but white, basically.
Wow.
That's enough about Jupiter and Saturn. What's next? Oh dear.
Uranus.
Yeah. Uranus.
There's Uranus.
What I was going to say is there's actually... How would you pronounce it, you two?
To be honest, I would say Uranus.
Uranus.
Yeah, that's how most people would say it, but...
But I learned that as a kid and didn't quite think it was...
Yeah, I didn't really think it was... I didn't really see the double meaning until later. But there's a big argument online about it, as you would expect.
Yeah.
Because there does seem to be some confusion as to what's the correct pronunciation.
I think in America, I've heard people say Uranus quite
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah,
but to be honest, the only place I've done planet stuff in America was Epcot, the Disney learning place.
Mm.
And I think they're probably just trying to be nice in Disney
maybe.
Without mentioning people's backsides.
The trouble, yeah. That's not very Disney, is it?
No.
The trouble is, it's kind of degenerated into a conversation about whether it's just politically correct or not. And
politically correct?
Yeah. The debate over what word is actually the right pronunciation seems to have been lost and all that. Anyway, clouds. Uranus clouds, specifically. Now, interestingly... What?
Uranus clouds.
Anyway, it's covered in clouds of methane crystals.
That's quite ironic. Well, not ironic. No, that's not irony for it. You should do a topic on irony.
Yeah,
sorry,
we should.
People don't quite understand the concept on him. But yes, that's quite funny.
Yeah, so methane clouds on Uranus.
Yes, basically. And the reason why Uranus looks blue-green, which it does,
right.
is because methane absorbs red light. Interesting.
I'm
just going to say interesting after everything I say. That makes it sound more...
More
better.
Interesting.
It does.
Interesting.
Okay. Not much to say about Uranus, really. Are you going to laugh every single time I say it?
Yes.
Neptune. Move on to Neptune.
Okay, Neptune. That also has methane clouds all over it. It has a striped pattern, though. And it has some clouds similar to Earth clouds low in the atmosphere. There's also some famous ones... clouds on there called the Great Dark Spot, which is another great spot. There seem to be a lot of great spots.
I've only ever heard of the Great Red Spot, actually.
Well, I think that's the most famous one, but Neptune has a Great Dark one, which actually there's several of them, and people think they're gaps in a cloud layer that show other cloud layers below. Also, there's the Scooter, which is a little white patch of cirrus clouds that circles the planet very fast.
How about Pluto?
It's not a planet.
It's not a planet anymore.
It's a dwarf planet.
But also...
Well, see, that's the thing. I still accept it as a planet, and I still accept the one that's after it. I've forgotten its name, because no one really talked about it much.
Its nickname is Xena. I can't remember its actual name. That's a bit bad.
I think Pluto should still be classed as a planet, because it was for a long time, and now it's a dwarf planet.
No, because if you class Pluto as a planet, then you have to class a lot of other things as planets.
Like what? The moons? Because they're... I think they're satellites, though, so they don't have to be classed as planets, whether they're bigger than Pluto or not.
Yeah, but then there's certain asteroids out there that are even bigger than Pluto, and you don't count them.
Are they moving like planets do in the same... We're moving into planets, I do think Pluto should... Have you found out about Pluto?
I have found out about Pluto, and it doesn't have enough of an atmosphere, really, to have to have clouds, so we don't really need to talk about that anyway.
But it's weird what they class planets as. Because if you look at it, some planets are just a big ball of gas.
You're a big ball of gas.
Your face is a big ball of gas.
Aww.
Jupiter is a big ball of gas.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Oh, Jupiter has lightning. I forgot about that.
Oh, wow.
I just scribbled that down on the actual planet with a little lightning bolt. Oh, interesting fact. I need to stop saying interesting, because some of it isn't. And if I say it about everything, then it kind of loses its meaning. But the highest clouds above any planet's surface are above Mars.
Mm-hmm.
62 miles above it, in fact.
That's quite high.
Made of carbon dioxide. Or CO2.
Which we don't, I don't know if we have a problem with on this planet. We don't have clouds of it, at least.
I don't understand. Maybe we can do a show on, like, global warming or something.
Possibly.
It's sort of related to clouds.
I absolutely hate it, because so many places are coming out with evidence claiming it's not happening. And I think, okay, I'm very convinced it is myself, but I suppose I'm willing to accept that it could just be coincidence, but I'm not. It's just one of those things that so many people... There are obviously places which would benefit so much from it not happening that they just must find reasons for it not happening.
But you think about it, then... But, If it's not global warming, then what is the reason for the ice caps to melt?
Yeah, something's warming. Yeah. But it could be...
There's several debates within the global warming debate. It's whether humans are causing it and whether we can do anything to stop it and all that stuff as well.
But even if we discover we're not causing it, should we be doing something to stop it? That's another interesting question. Should we stop the world doing what it does?
Well, yeah, that's more of a philosophical question than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although if it's a question of our own survival, I think people will choose to do something about it, regardless of any philosophical implications. Anyway.
But then again, the main thing of every species on the planet is survival.
Yeah, I suppose if we evolved to a state where we can do something about it, then
maybe
that's part of nature as well. Who knows? Do you know? If you do, then send mail to someone at encyclopod.co.uk.
Make that an address that we send. Make that the main address you send stuff to.
Okay, yeah.
Someone at encyclopod.co.uk.
We should all have access to it.
So, anyone have any final cloud thoughts? Or more information?
I liked learning about clouds. It was nice. I think some of the knowledge I've learned I will forget. But I think that's the stuff that I wouldn't really want to know. I just like knowing... I think the more basic stuff that I knew was actually useful. The kiddies book helped a lot.
It's good to know what clouds actually are for once.
Well, I've always known, but I never quite understood them as much.
No,
as
you understood how they work. I grasp them more now than I ever have before.
I think the thing is, there are certain things we all have knowledge of, which, like clouds, are just a random thing that we do know, because schools seem to teach you things. It's just clouds isn't on a curriculum, so people don't learn random things. But I know lots of random things about rainforests.
Yeah.
Just because it's a topic I've done several times at primary and secondary.
Oh, Egypts. Since
Egyptians, yes, but that's not just because of that.
Or Vikings.
I like Egypt quite a lot. Anyway.
Or Braveheart.
But I like clouds.
I don't even know what we're talking about now.
Things we like.
Yeah.
Integrated to things we like.
I like strawberry jam.
My mum went strawberry picking today.
Oh.
They're quite nice. I don't often like strawberries without sugar, but these ones were fine.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. If you enjoyed hearing about clouds, or if you haven't, then even if you haven't, go and do some research on them. You might just be surprised by what you find out. And you might actually remember it, as opposed to just forgetting all of it as soon as you stop listening to this. Which is probably what I'd do, to be honest.
I don't think, in a way, I think clouds, it's a good topic to learn about, but maybe not too much detail. Because I think there's possibly,
you might not
there is too much out there.
You might not want to learn all the different stratuses and all the different cumuluses. Just learn about
unless
stratus and cumulus.
Unless you want to career into it, then do.
Oh, then learn about it. If you want to be a nephologist, I hope that's how you pronounce that.
Well, next week we'll have a very interesting subject.
We will.
Hopefully another guest.
A very interesting other guest who is a female...
Maybe even more than one other guest. Who knows? Are you off next week on Wednesday, Stuart?
Should be.
Who says Wednesday? Well, it doesn't have to be Wednesday.
No, it doesn't. And we're going to pick a nice, easy topic to relax after clouds. Although, whatever we pick will probably turn out to be just as difficult as clouds.
I think we'll always find this.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Something like tolls.
Tolls?
Maybe not tolls.
Probably not tolls. But, oh, well. Okay, so the website is still under development. I mean, it will be up by the time you hear this, but it might not be completely finished. We'll probably have different contact addresses for each person and things like that, so you'll be able to contact us individually. For now, just send to someone at encyclopod.co.uk.
Yes, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for
it's
listening.
It's been very fun.
It has been fun, although I hope we get better at this, because
I
feel like we could stand to improve a bit.
Oh, of course, but that's...
I think I've been absolutely amazing this, so...
Thank you,
Alex, for organising this and doing much more cloud research than either of us.
Okay,
did.
Well, I think I probably bogged down the podcast in minute detail more than either of you would have liked.
It's been fun. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Or good day. Or good morning. Or
thank
good afternoon.
Thank you for downloading this Encyclopod podcast.
That's the trouble with podcasts. You don't know when they're listening.